You know what, Joe Bartnick? We have a sponsor. I can't believe it. It's not Pinkberry. It's not Chuckberry.
It's Huckberry. Huckberry.
Yeah. These guys are awesome. It's an online shop. Have you checked it out?
Yeah, it's really cool stuff. I there's a couple things. First, they have a portable keg.
I mean,
I mean, as athletic as I am, I think the keg has more range than I do.
Well, and it's a workout. Yeah. Got that on your back. You know, and that's going to be big for your Rose Bowl outing with Bill Burr this year.
Oh, absolutely. I think we're going to get one of those, actually. Yeah. And they also have the ice that doesn't melt.
That's my favorite.
You ever seen that? So, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm ordering some for my dad. His birthday's coming up.
Dad will love those.
Yeah, and Huckberry's just really cool. You know, if you're at work right now, listen to Puck Off, and you're like, I need something to kill time for another 10 minutes before lunch. Go to Huckberry.com and type in Puck Off, PUCKOFF, with an exclamation point, and you get $5 off. And they have some really cool things. Like we were talking about, they have some knives, even men's journals. Like, they're really cool.
Come on, you got everything you need, guys. You got the knife, you got the portable keg. Well, you know, what more do you need?
Yeah.
For a good time.
That's the ultimate. That's for Dodger tailgating.
Yeah,
a
exactly.
Knife and a keg.
Yeah, you got it covered on all ends. You got to check it out. That's Huckberry. That's our new sponsor for Puck Off. Mention Puck Off or offer. What do? Put in the code Puck Off.
Right.
And you get $5 off.
$5 off.
Can't beat that. Guys, we're rolling Kilo G. This season's over, but we're still going.
Puck Off. Congratulations. Puck Off. The Kings, my
yeah,
mistress
man.
Team.
Yeah. Who called it?
I called it in five.
Me too.
You did Didn't too. I did. Yeah.
I think I did.
Close enough. You definitely were
it's
there.
The only thing I called the entire season.
No, because people reminded me, like, you called it. So I'm happy. Congratulations to the LA Kings.
Yeah, man.
Speaking of Kings.
Look at our guests.
We have a King right here.
Look at him.
A king. I mean, I'm a legend.
He's a legend.
I'm between two legends. Obviously, I'm between the captain, Fraser Smith. We welcome in radio legend, comedy legend. He is Pittsburgh comedy. Jim Krenn is here.
Yeah,
right? Are you kidding me?
Come on. I'm honored to be here. You know, I'm a listener.
He's a listener.
I can't believe it. You're the one.
This is like my. Well, then you better go buy some Huckberry crap.
Yeah,
I'm all over.
Whatever that is, you better get it.
I'm in. I mean, you know, how about this town, Los Angeles? I get here last night. I check into the hotel. I ask for a wake up call at 8:30, and your mayor calls me for a wake up and goes, "It's going to be a big effing day." I'm like, wow. Yes, it will be.
Wasn't
a big
he awesome?
Day.
That was a Pittsburgh moment in LA.
Exactly. That's what we would say. He's proved to be a regular guy, right?
It was
Phrase?
Cool, man. I loved it. I think everyone loved it.
Everyone did.
You saw the response.
Regular people loved
it. Yeah.
You're always going to get some foo-foo people upset, but hey.
Come on. I love a mayor going out on the limb like that. That was awesome.
Nothing like F-bombs.
Yeah.
There's just nothing like them.
And a brew.
And for his critics, he tweeted out BFD, which was
yeah,
awesome.
Beautiful, man. Love that guy.
I would be remiss. We have another guest as well. Jim's producer and a cool dude. Always been nice to me, Josh.
Josh.
He knows nothing about hockey, so
we don't hear
him.
We love Josh.
I'm gonna laugh. That's what
a producer does.
There you go. Look at that.
That's right.
It's awesome.
Produces.
That's it. Well, we got the guys in town, man. Are you having fun?
I love this town. Yeah, I love visiting Los Angeles and seeing, you know, Joe's Pittsburgh boy, so we hang out. But the Kings, I'm excited for the city. I know they don't have a football team, and you know, I was going to ask you guys how it seems like from what I'm reading, from what I see from the people, they really embrace the Kings. How hot is
you know
this
what it is, Jimmy,
in this town?
You know what it is? It's always been a Laker town, and Lakers suck now. So. It really gave us an opening for hockey.
You want to be with a winner?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, well, that's L.A. You know, that's a lot of places. But L.A.'s particularly that way. And I think they've had that core audience for hockey. You know, the 20,000 that love it. And then the 20,000 down at the Ducks. So you got a little core. But now the whole city's turned on.
You know what's funny about that is in Pittsburgh. Now, you know, Joe knows this growing up in the city. I mean, I used to go to the – you know, we wore the Potter blue jerseys and we were ready to close. Yeah. There was like 3,000 of us screaming, you know, we hate you, Ron Stackhouse, even though we love them. And then Lemieux comes along and then, you know, all of a sudden youth hockey, everything just starts, you know, the hockey's almost, it's up there with football, but football's our religion, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
Still football is king, but still hockey's really up there because of winning and because of Lemieux. Now, I see the parallel in a weird way. The way Lombardi, the way your general manager in the Kings here has things going, he's poised to win possibly the next, you know, he's always going to be in the mix over the next 4 or 5 years.
Well, yeah.
Maybe
he's got
it
a young
could
team.
Happen here. Maybe there's, you know, or is this town too big for that? I don't know as far as, because there's a lot to do here, but it really seems poised that this could be something big here.
Thank you for saying that. I think that's cool. But the thing is, the East Coast is more of a hockey area, of course. Mm-hmm. And Pittsburgh, you know, fits the hockey mold. Out here, it's more of a, you know, it's whoever's hot.
That's it.
You know,
you're winning, you're in.
Yeah. And Lakers were always hot, and that was always the big deal.
Well, but they are going to be good for a long time.
Well, yeah, they've got
so, right?
I mean, they got a young team.
You got a lot of good guys.
I mean, they're only losing the unrestricted free agents are Gabrick, who they think wants to stay. Now, he was huge in the playoffs.
Man, he was great.
He was huge. And then just their two big defensemen, Green and Reguerre.
Those are the ones who could leave?
Who are unrestricted. And then restricted is Dwight King is a restricted. And I think, you know, so those sign King. I love King. King is a guy, and we're going to talk to Kings, everybody. I'm not going to jump into Pittsburgh.
Yes, you are.
We will eventually.
Yeah. I know.
It's tilting that way.
I know, but I'm just saying.
It's already starting.
Yeah. I'm just saying. Exactly. It's going to be a summer of my summer of discontent. But King is a guy. People are going to look in to spend for him. But he is restricted. I think King's going to come back. And Reguerre and Green, you know. I think Green kind of saved the day. Because I don't think Reguerre is up to Green. And Green wears the A. And he came in and settled everybody down. He was not, I think Green was 9-0, or except for the finals.
Yeah, Green helped out.
Green played great. And
but they're keeping their core players.
Yes.
They're keeping Justin Williams, and they're keeping
well, yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
Quick.
He's out there, too.
Is he? Yeah.
Yeah, Justin Williams is out there.
And they kept him. They're keeping him under the cap, well under the cap, which is amazing.
Lombardi.
Lombardi's really doing
it. It's good.
And I want to make sure. I did my research, but I'm going to make sure.
Hey, I stumped him the other day on a hockey question.
You're kidding.
No,
you're kidding,
Fraser. No, I asked him.
He's reviewing this. He's revising
I can't remember the question.
the Triple Crown line. Jimmy Crenn. Jimmy
knows.
Yeah. I just blanked out.
Go ahead.
Here you go. Oh, Gabrick Green. No. So I was wrong. So someone on TV said that Justin Williams was an unrestricted.
You want to lose him.
But he's not. He's not.
Good. You don't
according
want
to
listen.
The hockey news, which has been my trusty guide all year here at Puckoff. That's who should be sponsoring.
That's your guy.
Yeah.
But you got a nice goalie. Quick is a great goalie.
Isn't
tender,
he great?
Right? Got to lock him in for, you know, he is locked in, right, for a couple of years.
He is.
So that's what I mean. They could win the next few years.
Doughty's locked in.
Although our Pens, going back to the Pens.
Hey, what's going on with those Pens? What do you think they're going to do in the offseason?
Let's talk Kings for like
all right, a few more
20
minutes.
I'm ready to go. I'm chomping at the bit.
Yeah, exactly. No, you know, I mean, look at Kopitar. Kopitar, I used to call him West Coast Gino. That's an insult.
To
Kopitar, he's damn near the best player in hockey.
That's what
he's dominated. He dominated that Taze line. That Taze line when it mattered. We've blown Taze every week here, and then when it really mattered, that Kopitar line
shut him down.
Although Kopitar got a lot of help with Dusty.
Dusty came on in the playoffs, especially at the very end.
Yes.
He had a bad season.
They said his knee finally got together. They said his knee injury from last year, which is one of the reasons why they didn't play good against the Blackhawks last year. I mean, think about it. The Kings went to the Western Finals. They could, you know, not ifs and buts, but, you know, two Stanley Cups and one Western Conference Final.
Well, Kopitar,
there's a mini dynasty.
Exactly. Kopitar's playing great, right? He's a youngster. He's going to be a star for the next few years. And with the confidence of, you know, winning obviously becomes great. But like you said, Fraze, off the air we were talking, you know, Rangers played their hearts out. They played hard.
And I was
the Kings
impressed.
Were just better. Yep. That's what makes – they're good up everywhere, up and down, defense, offense. They got nice balance, chemistry.
They have four lines. Think about it. Mike Richards is a fourth liner.
Yeah.
That's so.
And in 5 years ago, Philly was—is it Richards and Carter versus Sid and Gino?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, well, you know what? Sid, you know, now it's funny because Richard and Carter do have two cups. Yeah. But they're with the Kings.
Well, I want to thank.
It couldn't have worked any better for us.
I think we need to thank the Flyers.
Yes.
For giving us all those players.
Yes. Well, thanks Philly for this weekend at Helium Sunday night.
Yeah, the show
best
was great.
Best crowd
right?
of the All In Tour. Best crowd, and that's even over San Francisco.
Wow.
Some other great ones, but the Philly came out and rocked. Oh, Drew Doughty, are you kidding me?
Well, he's the best in the league.
People, my pronunciation of Doughty, they've been emailing me.
He's Paul Coffey plus.
That's why I said Doughty, you'll love this. Well, if you listen, you heard it before. Yeah. He's Letang with 40 pounds and a brain.
He hates Letang.
I don't hate Letang. I hate Letang. I like 7.5 million.
He does. Yeah.
It's 7.5 million.
He hates Letang, Fleury, and Bosma. He already got one out.
Yeah, no. he's just getting started.
No, you don't hate him.
I don't hate Fleury.
No,
I like Letang.
I'm defending, and you can ask my dad, who's wants to disown me. I've defended Fleury many a time. I've defended Flower. I like the Flower. King, you know, the one thing the Rangers desperately needed was, they said, this was the talk I was hearing, they don't have a number one center.
Yeah,
their number one center is the number two center.
But here's the thing:
they don't have a number one.
Here's the thing:
center.
You know, they kept saying the East was weaker. And I think maybe the last couple of seasons. Well, the West has been good. Let's put it that way. There's a lot of good teams in the West, but I was impressed with how the Rangers played. And they, you're right. Yeah. They just didn't quite have enough. Because you're right, the Kings were just better. But man,
the Rangers
hustled, and they got some good players. And that goalie, top notch.
Lundqvist, that's who you feel bad for.
He was fantastic.
He was unbelievable.
Yeah. Amazing.
It makes people say, "Well, look at the Penguins. Like, oh, you know, if they look, it doesn't look so bad. No, we lost to Lundqvist. It's like, yeah, but Lundqvist against the Kings made 50 fabulous saves. Against us, he took two off the chest. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you got a point there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, you had your two best goalies there.
I think so.
Quick and Lundqvist, and it made for a great series. I thought it was a great series, even though it was a short series.
Yeah,
you can't beat overtime.
Bunch of OT games.
Entertaining.
Yeah.
Very entertaining.
What do you think?
Great for the league, I guess, for L.A.
Well,
winning,
you know,
in a way to, you know, big market like that.
You know what else, too, guys?
Hurt.
The Hoops was kind of off this year. You know, Spurs and Heat wasn't a really great series. And so,
yeah, because Spurs dominated kind of. You're right.
Yeah, and it was a little flat. Mm-hmm. And so hockey had a chance to shine, and it did.
It really did.
Pick up the ratings a little bit.
Yeah.
And that third, I mean, the Western Conference, the Chicago versus L.A., I mean, that was the best hockey you'll ever see.
That was good hockey.
Yeah. Blackhawks are tough. Yeah. They're going to be back next year, too. That's the big nemesis for the Kings, right? I guess the Blackhawks.
Well, that series could easily have gone to them.
Yeah.
You know, that was a really tight series.
Think about the Sharks.
Well, there's another team. Yeah, the Hawks got a great themselves. Parody.
Another team that will dominate until the playoffs.
Yes, they always choke. And this year, I gave everyone in the Bay Area a little hope this year. I said, this could be the year. They got Tyler Kennedy. They changed some things up.
Yeah,
of course, he was scratched. You know, he didn't catch a sniff. But which I don't know why. You know, the guy doesn't play in the playoffs, but that's what he's good for.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought they were going to change it around this year. There's some younger guys in the King. That's what's just amazing about the Kings. And say what you want, you know, when he was in Philly, competitor Mike Richards, you wanted to run his head through the wall, and this and that.
I was on your
team. Him and Carter and Justin. There's Dustin Brown. Guys on the Kings with their back against the wall are just incredible.
But the thing that I like is that they came back from three down, which only one other team I think has done.
And like three or four.
Yeah, but it was always the Red Wings and the Maple Leafs from 1950, and I'm a Red Wings fan, so I have to keep hearing that. How they came back on us. Now it was dropped.
The Islanders did it to us in 75.
That's right.
And then the Philly just did it to the Bruins, and then the Bruins just did it to Toronto.
So it's only happened three or four times.
Yeah, three or four times. But only it's never happened in the finals. That's what New York was pinning their hopes on. But it's only in the finals is when it was in 1940.
That's whatever year it was.
I think the key in these long grinding playoffs I've watched since the early 90s with the Pens and with the Kings. That's why I say Jonathan Quick, hats off to him. This all comes down to really to the goalie. You have to have the goalie that has the hot hand.
Yeah,
that just makes that save, you know, when the impossible save or the lucky save, whatever. And Quick seemed to come through the entire run, the entire playoffs. And that's the key to anybody.
That's always
winning.
Been the key,
you get
right?
That smoking hot goalie, man. Everybody looks great.
Yeah, that's really
everyone's
the key.
An all star.
And so they think about hot for four rounds.
That's
like,
what
if,
I mean.
Like, if
yeah.
you just think all back, like, through, right? like Varlamov looked great in Colorado for a while. Then you're like, oh, you know, Crawford looked great. It's, these guys overcame all these guys.
But look what happened.
It's such a war. It's such
look what
a
happened
war.
When Price went down.
Yeah.
That just, you know, there goes Montreal.
Yeah. No, that's Fraser's boy, too.
Well, I think he's one of the other great goalies.
Oh, he is.
You know, and when you lose your goalie, you're right, Jimmy. You got to have that hot goalie.
It's got to be hot. It's got to be consistency. And that's, I don't remember. This a while ago on one of the podcasts. I didn't mean you hated Fleury, but I mean, we were talking about the consistency of him or whatever you're talking. Because that's one of the things there's the big critique in the Berg is on Marc-Andre as of recent, you know, because obviously he has a ring. Is some of the consistency in the playoffs anyway. I mean, obviously.
Well, that's the thing.
He's a great goalie, too. But, yeah, you need that consistency.
Well, Flowers, I mean, he did two shutouts this year against the Rangers, which is that's how bad the Rangers were in those two games. Because the Flower never shuts any – Flowers always – someone will beat him fairly, and then someone will beat him with crap. Mm-hmm. And that's how you have to win 3-2. The Penguins have to win 3-2. It's always, I always say, Gino's good for a goal. Sid's good for goal in the lines, and then you get some somewhere else. You got to win 3-2. Flower's not shutting anybody down. He's like Rand Fuhrer. You know, he's gonna make a couple spectacular ones, but then one's gonna get by, and then you're like, how the hell did you not stop that?
And he's gonna be with us for some time. As Rutherford, who was an ex goalie, actually was a Penn goalie, our new GM. He loves him. He seems to love him. So I think he'll be with us for a while. He says he's gonna
not
stick
a bad
by
goalie.
Him.
He's pretty good.
Once you get a ring, I think. You've proven something.
Yeah.
Frazier's the old goaltender.
That's right. Put me in.
Frazier knows the pipes. That's the goalie, Frazier. He's our goalie expert.
If I did the splits, I'd never get up.
I want to address one listener. He emailed me and wondered, he was wondering why Reger, I call him Reger, he'll probably get emailed by saying his name wrong, touched the cup first after Dusty Brown. Now, that's one of the things I've always interested in for my whole life is the succession of who touches the
cup. Is it supposed to be the captain first?
Well, the captain always gets it first. And then usually back in the day, it would go to the two assistant captains. Hmm. And then you go down by how long someone's been on the team.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And the thing that kind of changed all that and I actually looked this up because I was on stage when they started passing the cup around. Was that they turned around and just gave it right to Reger because he was like the 17-year veteran that never got a sniff before.
Ah.
And the whole reason why they jumped the AA and then Reger thing was, if you remember in Colorado, when Ray Bourque went out and stole his cup.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't know. I mean, I love Ray Bourque, but I still think it's a little tainted. That he went to get it in Colorado.
Okay.
I mean, it's not the same.
Why? Because you want to, you have to grow through the organization, kind of thing. Is that what you mean, or?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit.
It's like a baseball player jumping on the Yankees in his last year.
Yeah, it's kind of. But you know what? Bork's a pretty good player.
Oh, he was amazing. Yeah. He's one of the 10 best defensemen of all time. But I just think it's I don't know. I just
think
he won the cup. It's like he did, but he didn't win it in. I don't want to start that riot again.
There is an unwritten rule.
We'll get Bill on here for that 30-minute. But that's why they started kind of jumping around. After that cup, it kind of was more like now they go to the oldest guy no matter who he is as opposed to wearing the A. So I just wanted to answer that question.
Well, there's a rule also we talked about, or I guess the unwritten rule. You can touch the cup, but you're not allowed to hoist it over your head unless you've actually won.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I don't know.
Yeah, interesting.
The guys in the white gloves will come and give you
a knock. And they'll knock you down. Yeah. Hit you in the knee, you're gone. I didn't realize that. You can't.
They're trained. They are dangerous.
Yeah.
That's
why they wear their gloves.
That is the coolest trophy in the world. I remember when I first started on the radio, and Phil Bourque, you know, who was a great player, great, perfect role player, you know, on the Penguins' first run. And that run was just incredible. And I remember during that run, he said, Jimmy, he says, we're gonna drink a beer. We're gonna drink an Iron City out of the cup. I go, oh man,
that's cool,
Borky. That'd be awesome. So keeps going, and the rounds. Every round's getting more intense. It's getting bigger. It's getting crazier. He's like, Jim, we're going to drink an iron out of that cup. And we just kept fighting and battling. He just kept, you know, as a fan, I couldn't believe it. All of a sudden, you know, we win the cup, and town's going crazy and stuff. And I'm thinking about that beer at a cup, and I'm like, this is great. And then Borky is busy. I call him. We can't get hold of him. He can't get hold of me. We're going back and forth. Month goes by. No Borky, no cup, no nothing. I'm like, oh, man. 6 weeks go by, nothing. 8 weeks go by. Now it's already like August, mid-August. I'm like, eh, you know what? He got busy, you know.
Probably not going to happen. Yeah.
It's great. And I'm playing softball in his charity softball game in Moon Township outside of Pittsburgh. And there's
for what strip club? Fantasy. I used to work in Fantasy. Yeah, like, right. That's why I knew Moon Township. Yeah.
Anyway, so playing a softball game.
You called it.
And I'll never forget it. It's like this big dusty parking lot. It looked like those old Western movies or something. And out of nowhere, this big cloud of dust starts swirling. And I look up, and I have a bat in my hand, you know, and I'm like on deck, or whatever, and everyone just turns. And they look, and there's the dust is just getting bigger, almost like a tornado. And it's coming in and out. And breaking through the dust is Phil Bork in a candy apple red convertible Camaro, or a Corvette, a big Corvette. But strapped to the passenger seat is a Stanley Cup.
Wow.
And so he comes up pulling up, gets out, cracks the iron open. And we took the picture and drank it.
Dude. That's huge.
He goes, you think I'd forget you? I said, no, of course not.
That's huge. That's a good story.
But the old two-niner.
Yeah, oh, God. Great stories about the cup around Pittsburgh.
Wow.
That's
classic.
Now, see, that's what we didn't have, and that's what the Kings have. The Kings have guys like Ray, like Phil Bork.
That's what you need.
The Penguins had no one like that this year, and I knew that going into the season that they didn't have those guys, and we did in 2009, and the Blackhawks do.
It's hard to
get. And that's why they went. And Boston did a couple years ago, and then someone emailed me today, like, what do you think of them shipping or not signing Thornton, Boston? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, the summer's for getting rid of the old and old. Those trending down got to go.
But you need those players like Phil Bork, the Bob Aries, people that not only they're tough, we'll give their butt, but they're talented.
Yeah.
They actually got talent, too. They're not just goons or something. They really are talented. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, you're looking for that pro bear mold.
Speaking of Bork, you know how great Ray Bork is? Phil Bork was actually not called Phil Bork. His family name is like spelled Bork, but you didn't pronounce it like that.
You know, Phil.
Until Ray Bork went to Boston, all started pronouncing their names like Bork.
Was it Borke?
I don't know exactly, but I heard him tell the story, and I'm like, that is crazy.
You know, Phil differentiates the two when you talk about him and Ray. he's the one with two rings, Phil.
Phil didn't have to go to Colorado.
No, he tells me that. He goes, I'm the Bork with two rings.
You know what's funny about that? I got a buddy. Played for the Oilers back when Gretzky was there and Semenko and everybody. And this guy was a fourth liner. Yeah. Nobody remembers his name. He's got four rings. He played for Pittsburgh. His name's Pat Hughes. He's got four, he's got four rings.
That is so cool.
Yeah, he was just in the right place at the right time. I think you got two with the Oilers and maybe one with Montreal. I don't know.
I mean, that's one sport, too. Even if you're like the last guy in a bet, you earned it, right? I mean, everybody plays throughout the playoff run.
He had to drive Gretzky to the rink every night.
Really?
That was his job. Make sure he gets there okay.
That's hysterical.
Yeah, you got a ring for that.
That was we talked about it last week, but that was a great moment when the great one came out and dropped the puck.
I loved it. Yeah.
And then he played in both cities. You know, it was great. How was it? Did you go to the parade this year?
I didn't go. I didn't go, but I loved our mayor. He was just awesome with the F-bomb.
Yeah.
Big F.
Drinking a brew.
Yes.
You got to love that. That's a Pittsburgh moment.
It really was.
Yeah.
I loved it, too.
That's blue collar.
Oh, God, yeah. Tommy Lee and Slash, these ears aren't garbage cans. They were all upset. Lawrence Taylor hurt his hip, covering his prostitute's ears. Everybody wasn't happy about it. That was what was so funny, reading some people were, like, not happy. I was like, come on.
Come on, really? Guys. I love it. When the mayor steps out like that, that's awesome, man. Especially at a moment like that, you got to do it. That's a special moment.
Yeah, it's kind of like almost saying, that the town, you know, hey, we have blue collar people here too. We're not just snobby, yeah, yeah, whatever. It's like, hey, LA is working people here. So most people are hard work.
You know? Well, yeah, you see that, and you're right, except for all of us Hollywood types. But, but you know,
Joe's butler and maid are good people, right?
Joe's, yeah, they're pretty good.
Nice, hey, my maid works real hard.
And the person who peels your grapes, very nice person.
Yeah. My maid's actually on vacation for a month and a half.
It's the kind of guy you are.
Gotta keep my bathroom clean.
Good luck getting through that.
You're telling me.
Well, you know what? I think that is the viewpoint, though, from back east. I don't know. You can tell me that you know, L.A.'s kind of
– you think Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know, that's
yeah.
it. You know, and it's sunglasses. Not,
yeah. And they don't think – I think even there are a lot of people back east who can't believe the Kings win.
There's a lot of people that are – actually, and I don't know if I'm going to say someone's name. I may say it off the air. No, well, like I'll say it. John Steigerwald. He is actually kind of violently upset that LA wins hockey games.
I think a lot of guys
and Jim, and now you're out here. You can see that. No, there are fans out here that are passionately into hockey.
It's absolutely,
it's such a whatever small world view of life that people aren't into hockey out here.
I think some people, I think subconsciously think, hey, if your city doesn't have snow ever,
well, that's,
you
yeah,
can't
that's
be into
what
hockey.
It is. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they think, I don't know.
Or they look at the ratings. It's like, yeah, I mean, yeah, there's a million things to do, and it's not the biggest, you know, rating market, but there's 20 million people out here. 1 million of them, which is as big as Pittsburgh, they're into hockey.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah,
it's,
you know,
it's becoming a bigger hockey town.
I think it is.
Yeah.
You know, I was doing my show at KLOS the other night, and I think I told you this. It's Sunday night. There's no one in the building. I didn't see anyone in the building. And it was when they were playing Chicago's seventh game. You know, we score an OT to win it, and 20 people are running down the hallway. I don't even know where they came from. Huh. They're just screaming. You never see that, you know, for hockey.
That's true.
They went crazy.
Yeah, winning the last, 2 out of 3. If you keep winning... If they keep winning here, it'll be like I said earlier, like in Pittsburgh, where you'll start to see more youth hockey.
Right.
You'll just see, you know, as you see more kids getting involved, it'll just grow into something, you know, bigger and bigger than ever as time goes on.
Yeah.
If they keep winning, which it looks like they will. I mean,
well, they could.
We don't see any, as we said earlier, we don't see anything derailing it. You got the GM keeping everything under the cap, and that's a key. I think people are going to try to follow his blueprint, obviously.
But yeah. Well, yeah,
through
he's
the
good.
Draft mainly, you know, some role players trade, but mostly through the draft, this guy works.
There's something to be said, too, and not to be all Mr. American, but there's something to be said about, like, the guys that are the stars, like Doughty and Kopitar and Dusty. They're just such good people. You know, the face of the Kings.
There's merit to that. I think it's a character, right?
Well, yeah. The face of the Kings is such a good face to have. And then even like Daryl Sutter, you know, and just like, it's just such a nice kind of thing to have. You know, they always tribute to veterans, and it's just like, I don't know, it's just such a, it's a good organization. It's a good, it's a good thing for, if you have kids, go to a hockey game. You know, it's like, it's something good for the kids. You know, it's kind of, I mean, when I was growing up, when we were growing up in Pittsburgh, go to a hockey game, it was like, you know, we were, it was like you're taking your life in your hand.
Yeah. But you know what?
Now it's like a cleaned up kind of, like, it's a respectable thing to do, you know?
Well, but hockey players tend to be the most congenial of all the athletes, I think, even the biggest, you know, because I've hung out with Gretzky. He's just a regular dude, down to earth. They're, you know, as compared to other sports.
Fraser, you had a Hall of Fame radio career, and you know this. When you talk, of all the sports personalities you talk to in general on a consistent level, I have to think, for me, hockey players have always just been, I don't know why, maybe it's because they come from these smaller towns in Canada or something, I have no idea, but they seem to be just most real down to earth.
They're totally cool.
Decent people.
Yeah, they're totally cool. I agree with that. And no matter how big they are, they just have that friendly vibe. I think, I don't know if it's because they're Canadian. I don't know what that is, but that's true.
My theory on that is to me, they're like comics. Because we've all been there, right? We all start at an open mic somewhere and get our heads kicked in. No one starts out on top. And in hockey, I mean, Sidney Crosby and Lemieux, but still – Sidney had to leave his home when he was like 9 years old to play.
Yeah.
You know, and Lemieux was like, you know, like whatever. He was like 13. They're taking his picture, scoring like, you know, they've all had their trials and tribulations where no one is. In the other sports, they're all someone's handed them something by the time they're 10 years old.
Well, and they're
just kind of like they're humble. Like I think almost every comic I've ever met is pretty cool because they all know can all come crash. You know, these guys, they know it's like they're doing something.
They're doing something that they love
and they're getting able to do it. So why not go to a charity event and why not be nice to a little kid? It's not hurting them.
Yeah. Well, you know,
it's true.
I told this story a couple times already, but Gretzky, you know, I had met him at this charity thing.
This is the best story.
And then I'm actually trying to get rid of him. Like 3 weeks later, I was like completely thrilled to meet him, right? I'm just stunned. I was actually sitting, now dig this, I'm sitting between Gordie Howe and Gretzky at a charity function. They were both elbowing the shit out of me. And then Gretzky kept bugging me, but his girlfriend at the time, it was before he got married, he was a singer from Canada.
Yeah.
And he kept bugging me to play her record. Hey man, could you play her record? And he gave me a vinyl copy of her record. And I'm just carrying it around this charity thing. I'm like, I just got this from Gretzky. So then he started calling me, and he phrased, "How come you haven't played the record?" The record was horrible. It was like I don't know what to do. And finally, I go, okay. He calls me on the show on the hotline.
Yeah.
Hey man, you got to play the record. So I played half of it. My boss calls me. He goes, "What is that?"
Oh.
It was like an Anne Marie. It was horrible. And so I had to take it off halfway through. Then he calls me back. What are you doing? Why'd you take it off? So now I'm trying to ditch the great one. I'm like not taking his calls and.
Did Yuri Slager ever try to get you to play somebody's record?
All the time. Kenny Malkin always played her this Russian song every day I get that call. That is hysterical, man.
Now, have you met Lemieux? Have you met him?
I have had the honor. Yeah, I say honor because that guy is one of the most genuine.
I bet he's cool.
Named as far as genuine, down to earth.
Yeah.
He's a quiet, obviously, he's kind of shy kind of guy, but soft-spoken, I'd say. More than shy, just soft-spoken. But yeah, he is one of the most genuine, kind people I've ever met. He does a lot of charity work. Does a lot of charity work quietly, too. You know what I'm saying? He raised a lot of money with the Lemieux Foundation, Children's Hospital, and children with cancer. But he definitely is he's the real deal. Let's put it that way. But
yeah.
I've met
what
him several
player.
Times through just interviews, and I've met him a couple times socially at some fundraisers or here and there to say hello and just small talk. But he's just the way he handles himself and he treats everybody the same, just respect for humanity, that kind of guy. So yeah, I'm a great fan of his.
And
it's funny, I was thinking when you were mentioning Gretzky dropping that puck and stuff, and I was thinking of Lemieux and how he saved hockey in Pittsburgh, and he's just so great for hockey.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, hey, these guys, man, they know their mission in life, because even after not playing for all these years, these guys are still saving hockey, still doing the right thing.
Yeah, they are.
Right,
they're ambassadors.
Feeding us fans what we want to see and hear.
They're ambassadors.
I'll do things the right way or whatever. But it's kind of cool. Yeah, but Lemieux, he is. He's first class all the way.
All the way, man. I love that guy. Yeah, everybody does.
I met him. It's still like
did you do comedy for?
He's got a great story. You got to tell.
Yeah, I did. Oh, I did. I did his benefit concert. Or benefit his charity event.
The foundation.
I did it, and at first I was like guys, the radio guys back, great guys, Randy and Bill. They're up there. They're killing with Pittsburgh stuff,
right?
I mean, they're great comics. I mean, Bill's one of the greatest comics ever. Randy's his old partner. I mean, just they're pros. They're in the Radio Hall of Fame too. So. It's like I get up there and I'm thinking, oh my god, they said there's gonna be no women here. I gotta be my act, I gotta be clean. Yeah. I'm like, oh my god, I'm sweating. So I tell like four or five stories, I see the big guy laugh, and then I go, well, they don't throw Lemieux over the boards to fight, so you don't send me here to be clean.
And
just bam. killed it. Really killed it. Was really happy. The director lady comes over and goes, "Do you want to meet Mario now?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure." And he turned and he was right there.
Wow.
It was like Christ came down.
And what a genuine play.
I go, "This is great. This is great." I guess everyone tells you
kind of makes you a saint.
He just smiles like the Pope. Like he knows he's
he knows he's the man.
Yeah, he knows. But classy about it though, you know. And that's what Randy was like. He goes, "He never comes. You have to go to him. He never comes to you." Because that's like getting called to the couch.
Wow, he dug you then.
Yeah. So I'll make this quick. Cut to, like, 3 hours later, I'm up in my room working on some Fox News. NFL and Fox. I had to get it done and losing my hair. I went back after hanging out with Trottier and Gary Roberts and Recky. I'm sitting there like, for hours, like, "This is great." Then they go, "We're gonna do this." And I'm like, it's one of those things where, like, before I say anything stupid, I'm gonna go, it's like on Pulp Fiction. I'm gonna chew my meat, I'm gonna go home and jerk off, and that's it.
Before, I don't wanna mess up the night.
Yeah. Before it's all gone, and then it's gonna, I'm gonna say goodnight, go up to my room, and that's it. So anyway, I'm up there, I'm sitting up there trying to think. I'm like, "Oh, okay, so I'm just so thirsty." Went down for a Gatorade. I hear, "Joe! Joe, I look over. It's Lemieux.
Wow.
He's calling me over. Come on. He goes, "Hey, guys, you got to do that women's basketball joke for Jay Caulfield. He hasn't heard it yet. He wasn't there tonight. He was at his daughter's girls' basketball game." He goes, "You got to hear it." And then, it was just cool,
that's so awesome.
Sorry, people listening. I have to.
No, I love that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. You know,
it's just a great story.
If the plane crashed,
the man.
Yeah. If the plane crashed after that, I didn't care.
Been to the mountaintop.
Yeah, no, on my tombstone it will say, "Mario thought I was funny."
Yeah. For you, that's the ultimate.
It really is.
Anybody in Pittsburgh,
Jimmy's from Pittsburgh.
He knows. I agree. Meeting him, talking to him, one of the highlights, for me, Franco Harris, one of the highlights. You know, think of all these great athletes. How about for you, Frase? Who's the guy? Is it Detroit player? So who would be the guy? Well, that you'd be like, "Wow, I got a genuflect here."
I did meet Howe a couple times. And, that was awesome because he's an awesome guy. Yeah. He's down to earth and he's got stories. Like,
could you imagine that era?
Unbelievable. I'll tell you one that was cool for me. Yeah. I was at the old Forum, which is now the new Forum, and Jerry Buss, owner of the Lakers.
Wow. Okay.
So I used to see Jerry, and he knew who I was. I mean, it always surprised me that he did. But I was walking around. And he said he walked by me and he goes, "Hey, Frase, you want to come up and sit with me in my booth?" And it's all models. It's like, "No, I don't want to, Jerry. Sorry." So
I'll stay here.
Yeah. So with my buddies in the cheap seats. Yeah. You know. So then I go, "Well, I'm here with a bunch of my buddies." And he goes, "Well, bring them."
Oh my God.
So my buddies are like flipping out. We go up there and it's all these models sitting there. And there's Bobby Hull. The Golden Jet.
Wow.
And so I'm sitting with Bobby Hull. And these models.
Wow.
And I thought I've gone to heaven.
Yeah, it's a
you know, I mean, I'm a Detroit guy. I'm a Detroit guy, but I always respected Hull. I thought he was one of the greats. You know, he was one of the greats. And he's just a down-to-earth, like we were saying about these hockey players. All he was doing the whole game was like, "Hey, you want a beer, Frase?" He's my best buddy. You know, he's got his arm around me. I'm like, this is like, what? You know? So that was a great moment, hanging out.
That's surreal.
I never heard that one before.
The Golden Jet, he was just so down to earth. And it's like, to me, he's a superstar.
He is.
One of the all-time superstars.
10 of all time.
Yeah. And, you know, he's just regular dude, and we had a great time. Jerry Buss always made sure he had fun.
That is such a great story. I would love to meet Jerry Buss. That is so cool.
Yeah, Buss was cool, man.
I just pictured that whole thing with the models and all.
Well, it blew me away that he knew me.
I know. I would be too.
I'm like, what? He goes, "Hey, man." And my buddies were like blown away. They were up there with the Golden Jet and all these models. And they're like, "Dude, how did this happen?"
Frase has a million of them.
I love that stuff.
Well, my other favorite thing was when I went backstage because Luke said, "Hey, come on backstage and hang out," or whatever they call it up in the VIP thing. So I'm back there. Here comes Kingston. I don't know if he's still the Kings mascot. I don't think so. Kingston was a skating lion. Okay. He was like in a lion suit. And it was like one of those Letterman guys with Krusty the Clown. He had he's over there and he's got his head sitting next to him and he's smoking a cigarette and drinking a beer. And he's going, "Those fucking kids." apparently these kids were throwing stuff at him, and he was walking up the aisle that night, and he was so pissed, and he was just all the disgruntled lion. Pinched him. Had a beer.
And that's back in the old that's back in the old days too, when they were like 10 and 70.
Yeah.
You know, just watching all that bad hockey.
You go watch a bad hockey in a stuffy suit.
Yeah.
And kids are throwing stuff at you.
In Inglewood.
Yeah. It can't be a good gig.
Yeah.
At least you can drive in the diamond lane with that head. Put it in your passenger seat.
Yeah, you gotta fire his agent. Because they gotta get this gig.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
L.A. casting. 100 people tried out for that gig.
Well, you know what? That was the day, though. That was a day when hockey wasn't so big.
Right, in LA, right.
You know? And you go to a game, you could always get seats, you know, and it was you know, there was a little core group that liked the hockey, but no one in town was talking about it.
Well, that's the story that got me ingratiated, if that's the word, when I opened up with Lemieux, because there was a, well, me and Bill Crawford counted like 42 Stanley Cup rings in the room.
Wow.
Not like
think about it.
Not like assistant to the, not like assistant to the GM.
No.
Like, you know, Trotch and Airy got 10. Yeah. And so, but I said, when I was a kid, it was like before, I was talking all about before Mario. They were blue, and it was stick day. We would go down and get like 10 sticks for each one of us because they had 16,000 of them, only 8,000 fans, and we would just get our stick, our street hockey sticks for the year.
Oh yeah,
but then you just walk right down front, and I think I might have told them here, but we were just heckling Billy Smith. This is what made Trotch die. We were just heckling Billy Smith. We're like eight, nine years old. Mm-hmm. Like just took the. Now it's a T. It was a trolley before down. And we're hacking him. We're like, you know, you stink. Whatever, like, eight-year-olds can say. He just skates up to the glass, takes up his mask, and he just goes, up your ass and out your ears, you little fucks. We were like, whoa!
What are you talking about? Yeah.
Like, we're like, we saw Jason. Like, we stood there like Scooby-Doo gang, like, whoa! Oh, God, it's
you know? That's great.
Yeah, that's what Trotch was saying. Trotch said he took him to his camp for kids, and Billy Smith's teaching the kids how to slash guys in the back of the skates as they're going back in the legs when they're going by. And Trotch is like, can't teach these kids. They're kids. And he's like, they got to learn something. Yeah.
Well, you know that they're right. That transition from, you know, the Potter Blue, as I used to be, me and Kenny Oldesky went to more games than you can count for $8.50 and snuck down the glass. But now you get to the Lemieux, the Savior, and the whole thing, and they start to piece everything together. And I think the year was right around '89. Right around '89, we never won a game in the Philadelphia Spectrum.
Wow.
And we were on the cusp, obviously, in 89 of becoming, you know, that team, you know, with Borky and everyone coming together. And so me and my partner at the time, Scott Paulson, on radio, we said, let's dress up as witch doctors and break the curse.
Cool.
In the Spectrum.
Yeah,
he said that'd be kind of fun, and so we went to this costume place, and I got the what I thought a witch doctor looked like on Gilligan's Island or something, feathered hat, put paint all over me, you know, I got these two bones and stuff. We're gonna be my witch doctor thing, and then Scott, you know, and Scott goes, you know, Jim, we're gonna get killed there. I said, yeah, I know, it'll be great. You know? So we drive out there, and the NHL gets wind of it, and they're like a little afraid, you know, their security's like, you know, hey, you're gonna go in front of these people in Philly.
Especially Philly, yeah. Oh no.
And I had a Penguins jersey on in, you know, and then the witch doctor stuff and the feathered thing and a grass skirt and a whole whatever. And they said, Jim, yeah, you shouldn't wear the pants. I said, no, I got to have the Penguins sweatshirt on too with the witch tie because I'm, you know, going to do this.
Yeah.
So they say, we get there, right? We sneak in, we put the stuff on. I'm up in this booth, and I remember this old guy, he wrote for the Philadelphia Inquirer. I'm sorry, I don't remember his name. I guess he'd written it for years, and maybe, I don't know if he was retired, semi-retired. This old writer plays into this, okay? So he's looking at me like kind of strange, and I come back, and I got the stuff on. They bring me down. They bring Scott down. They bring us down. All of a sudden, I'm getting hit with things I never thought existed. Like, you know, wow. I'm just getting hit with everything. I'm getting beer thrown on me. And I go on the ice. I do the dance. You know, I'm doing the whole dance, and I'm screaming.
Wow,
you know,
bro.
I'm making up stuff. Hey, you know, Phillies lose or something, whatever. And they're just, I'm just getting pelted with everything. Thank God, nothing hard enough to knock me out. But I'm getting, I'm totally soaking wet from beer and everything else. Security after like a minute, the guy said, "Let's go. You're in shock here. We don't want to clean blood off the ice." So anyway, so they come in to get me, and I go up and the whole thing, and I'm so, the adrenaline is just going nuts, and I'm sitting there. And I don't even take the witch thing, doctor thing off. And I'm just sitting there with this witch doctor outfit stuff. And I'm watching the game, watching. And we end up watching as it winds down. We're winning. And I can't remember the exact score, but we're winning by either a goal or two with 15, 20 seconds, whatever it was. We're going to win. Okay. I'm like, wow, we're going to beat the curse. The Pens obviously did it. Yeah. And I'm like, this is great. And the old guy walks up to me, and I watch him. It's like takes a million minutes to walk, an hour to walk up, and he gets there. He says, "Son," I said, "Yes, sir."
"Let me tell you, what you did reminds me of why I got into writing sports and writing hockey and being a writer here in Philadelphia."
And I go, "Really? Is it because of the spirit and the excitement and you know and all that?" And he goes,
"No, pussy. You're going to get laid in Pittsburgh tonight. You're going to get some credit for this, you know."
Oh, it made the news. It made television.
I'm like, wow, thanks. That was very impressive.
That was pretty awesome,
that's
man.
That's what he said. It was on the news. And I remember that.
It made the news.
Oh, that's great.
It made their year, whatever, of highlight.
You still got the outfit?
I do. Wow. I have the bone that I held. That's it.
That takes a lot of nerve, man.
Yeah, it was fun. It
especially
was fun
there time. In Philly. That was pretty awesome.
Somehow we lived through that. Yeah.
That's awesome. Hey, I always do this. I always ask, because I like that idea of fantasy crossing time zones. How do you think the Lemieux era players would do against today's guys in a series? I mean, do you think the Gretzky team that went to the finals in what, 91 or whatever with the Kings, mm-hmm. how would they do against today's Kings? Would they get blown out?
I don't think at all. No, I think that it would be – I give Gretzky the edge or even, you know, Lemieux era against now era Pens the edge just because I got to see, you know, Gretzky in my lifetime, Lemieux in my lifetime, play live, see Crosby live, you know, Kobe. I mean, I'm just saying that I just think they were just there's something about those guys, Gretzky and Lemieux. I give them the edge.
See, it's I'd like intangible. I'd like to root that way. Yeah,
they had a little grit to them, a little more grit maybe. I don't know if it's more, but I just think it's a coin flip, obviously in a way because they're all champions we're talking about, but. I give the edge to Gretzky, and I give the edge to Lemieux teams.
Uh-huh. I love hearing that. Some people don't feel that way because mm-hmm. they feel today's players are bigger and faster. But I feel like you do. I think that they could certainly hang. I don't think they get blown out.
I think we're talking about guys, yeah, we're talking about the Borkies of the world or the Bob Aries back then. Maybe the players were bigger and faster now, but can you match you know that heart that they had and that grit and determination? I think that would neutralize that size or quickness. And then Lemieux, who was, six-four or whatever? I mean, he was one of the, you know.
How are you going to get him out from up in front of the net?
Yeah, I think he would be great now if he played, I mean, well, in this era.
I do, too. What do you think? A lot of people are complaining, especially back in Pittsburgh, that the clutching and grabbing is coming back. I didn't notice it near. It's funny, it really seems like Sid or Sid's people, whoever they may be, it seems like they're talking about it more than anybody else. Right, because I didn't notice any.
Well, he's probably affected.
I didn't notice any clutching and grabbing though. I don't see Carter. I don't see that 70s line affected by clutching and grab.
Lemieux had to go through a lot of that. I thought the clutching and grabbing in his day. I think he would have another 40-50 goals to his resume. Or more.
Yeah.
But you saw with Gretzky in his era. You know, I guess every era is different, but. Are you noticing? Do you think it's coming back more clutch and grab? You're saying, Joe, are you noticing that
The one thing I'm noticing is, and because I watched it a lot close, because I was watching this great series, is I've noticed the BS interference, not the absolute clutching and grabbing. Where Malkin's coming down is coming around the wing. We're gonna grab Malkin and just hold him. I haven't seen that as much. But what they used to do to Lemieux. and other and Yager and every other and Iserman and everybody else would turn the game into boredom in the 90s. But what I have noticed is that BS interference that they started calling, people like, where's that call come from? Where a guy dumps the puck in and the other defenseman just kind of skates over and gets in the guy's way. That is definitely back in the
game.
Well,
that's also a call you can – it's pretty nebulous. You know, you can – interference is one of those calls.
They were calling
that – call
or
not call.
They were calling that, though, right after the lockout. It was getting like, that's kind of – we don't want that – and it's like – then it's like, we don't want that call anymore. But then they start letting it back in because that's why people were getting concussed. Because it's stopping people from getting a nice six strides into the corner and creaming defensemen. They're just saving their partners. But that's what I see creeping back more and more is thinking that someone's chipping and then they're not outright not someone hugging Lemieux at the goal line.
Yeah.
But just that kind of that little, just getting in the way, you know.
Little pick.
But you're talking about, you're talking about Lemieux, and he did get a lot of that. And I had John Sally on my show, and I asked him about what's the difference between today's NBA and your era. Mm-hmm. And he goes, well, we never gave Jordan an easy bucket. He goes, the refs let us, you know, play ball. We could hammer Jordan. We could hammer. He goes, now they protect the stars, and they don't let you do any of that. So his thing was that it was rougher back then, and it was, you know, they made it tougher on you to get a goal or to get a bucket. Do you think that's true?
I think so, Frazee. I have more confidence now in that whole thing about the different eras. As far as Gretzky, let me thinking back, if they had to play in these rules now, I do think it's true. I think it was, it's a learning process because that whole thing of the superstar in the media, I mean, we had superstars in the past, but we didn't have the coverage that started the last maybe 15, 20 years, and now it's outrageous. But you know what I mean? Now that people have to answer to it.
I tell you what, though, the era, the changes. I mean, nothing. Lemieux could score on two goalies at once, but I mean, Quick and Lundqvist. That was not. Casey and the North Star. I mean, goaltending was nowhere near as good.
Well, Kelly Rudy is not quick. Kelly Rudy's not quick.
Yeah,
but he wasn't bad.
Don Beaupre needs to get a suntan from the red light on his neck. There's some guys that couldn't. I mean, they're lucky the puck hit them.
Goalies are, they're right. Goalies are much better today. But the equipment is different, too. It's a lot lighter, a lot different. But you're right. There's different nutrition, athleticism.
I'm just kind of bringing up the point,
right,
though.
It's a good point.
I just kind of like seeing it really from it. I'm really, unless because Sid just pissed me off so much this playoff, that I'm really starting to take the, like, you know, that's not even, they're not even really clutching and great. They're not even really roughing them up that bad.
But you know,
you know what I mean? Compared to, and I'm like, you know, I love, hey, Sid's why, you know, they could be in Kansas City if it wasn't for Sid, who knows? But
true.
I just, you know, I don't know. Especially when Gino played really good. If Gino would have funked out too, maybe, now let's talk about the Pens now. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, that's, we'll see. I when they hired Rutherford, I'm like, I really wasn't that mad at Shiro. I think Shiro could have done better. But, Rutherford, I don't know. But then his press conference was pretty good.
I did see.
You know, he said what I wanted to hear. Hey,
are you happy with that guy?
Honestly, I would have been happier with Ray and they canned Dan and they got rid of Ray had many chances to prove me wrong. Ray had 3 years to do maybe one or two things, and none of this would have ever happened. I think after they lost to Philly in that debacle, Blazma had to go.
Are you surprised they kept him?
Oh, he's gone now. My surprise, I didn't know why how they treated. I don't know why they let him twist in the wind. But he should have. Letang, that's his albatross. That's why he's doesn't have a paycheck. That's why he's not working. Is because he could have went and got two guys at $7.5 million. To play wing.
But I will say this. The next guys in who have to, take over for Bylsma and Mr. Rutherford, they gotta win two cups. And Bylsma was the winningest coach in the history of the Pens, if you look at his wins, I guess, in terms.
You're absolutely right, Jimmy. You're absolutely right. And I love Disco Dan. I don't want to see him, fire. It just – he had to look at that team. Someone has to look at that team with different eyes. Somebody has to say, hey, like, this isn't working. Like, you need, like, you know, like, you know, just like the defenseman. Like, I love Scuds. He's a king. I interviewed him. I love Scuderi. He was a pylon out there. You had to play Bertuzzo. Like, why wasn't Dupre playing? And we won the division by 40 points. You mean to tell me Dupre can't play on a Tuesday against Carolina to see if the kid can play? You know, they had, what's his name? They had Craig Adams. Craig Adams, he looked like my sister trying to get the puck out in the fourth. He's an old man. Like, still, like, why aren't...
Your sister's pretty good.
Like, why aren't there people... Like, every team, the young guys, it's the young guys that bring the momentum. Look at even your Detroit. They, like, I'm not saying they have to get is superstars like that kind of, but you want to have a couple young guys to bring enthusiasm. Yeah. Harry Zonerchek, why wasn't Harry Zonerchek up all year? I mean, there's just things you had to see. You just had to see that somebody different that almost anyone could see, but almost like they're in the forest, they couldn't see the trees, whatever that quote is. I just think there has to be some new accountability, and I thought Ray was a better somebody big had to pay for this, and I just think Ray was a better GM per se. I don't know what I know what happened to Shiro, like he's going crazy. No, like Pascal Dupuis, like here's what happened. Here's how far we fell in 2009. Duper, who I love, was a healthy scratch in the finals. Now he's Sid's winger. Now he's irreplaceable. He gets hurt. We can't do anything. How does that happen? How do we go from like 87 fighting majors to like 32? How do we go from being feared, no one wants to play us in the corner, to the ice capades?
You got a bunch of skirts. Now, what do you do?
You know, I mean, what Jimmy says, I didn't mean to cut you off, Captain, but I mean, what do you say, Jimmy? I mean,
I agree that we need the infusion. You need some new, you know, fresh blood, some new looks. But what it comes down to, phrase, back me up on it. Whether it's Lemieux, Gretzky era, or whatever, now Crosby and Malkin, Joe, the stars kind of run the show, whether in hockey. They do.
Yeah.
Remember when Scotty Bowman, there was a rumor, I don't know how, you know, that he wasn't even allowed to many practices, but he was allowed to be at the games. You know what I mean? It's like the stars, because that's their, the end of the day, that's who's responsible too. I mean, I think it's up to Crosby, Malkin, Flurry. If they don't produce, we're not in the road. We had a lot of injuries this year. Ballsman had to deal with more injuries, I think, than anytime in his career as far as shifting things around. He may have had his best coaching year, believe it or not, this year, and the year he got fired from doing that. But I do think that the fresh blood will be good. But I think they're going to have to be careful in who they get. I don't think you can get some taskmaster guy. You got to get a guy who's going to come in and kind of just let it mold together. Like you're saying, Joe, maybe some new fresh blood come in.
Here's
on defense,
where we got
some
screwed.
Fighters.
When we got screwed, and you'll love this. You'll know what you know exactly what I'm going to say. He could go to commercial now. when Blauzmann got picked to coach the Olympics,
here we go.
if you listen, you know, because it's the truth. Because he, you know what, they could have won that last year. There was three coaches to pick from. The great Lindy Ruff,
his favorite,
was available. All Lindy Ruff did, he leaves Buffalo. What is it? It's like the circus. Like, do they have a team? He goes to Dallas. They almost beat Barbecue Bruce. I mean, you know, it's like he comes in. He knows how to work with talent. He knows how to get guys that want to move the puck up the ice. He's not an ass. He's not a disciplinarian. You listen to him. You do what he says. And it's just, you know,
It's funny. I just read an article that after the Olympics, when Balsman got back, we got a little bit embarrassed in the Olympics. We didn't win a medal, right? Obviously. And I can't remember who beat us real bad, like Finland or somebody. Somebody shouldn't have beat us real bad.
Was it Finland? 4-0, yeah.
And they said that kind of – this article, the way I was reading it, kind of said it kind of shook Balsman's confidence possibly. And then, like, they showed the record after even though we did great for regular season, he kind of, like, faltered there. I mean, you wonder if that got into his head or I don't know, but
yeah. Well, the Olympics had an effect on a lot of people.
Well,
you know?
I don't even blame Blauzma I don't blame Blauzma for everything.
You can't play.
But at some point, you have to win a 3-1. At some point, you have to go and, you know, whatever, kick over a catering table. You have to win it three. You know, one of those series. You can't find an excuse for every series. And it's
now. What do you guys think of Sutter? I mean, he just seems like such a character. His press conferences are like one word press conferences. He doesn't seem to, put a lot of big energy out. But he's obviously a great coach.
Well, when the Kings were struggling,
what do you think is his secret?
When the Kings were struggling, remember I said, well, maybe if they fall apart, we'll go after him. Yeah, I did. I said, yeah. You can Johnny Bench can run back the tape one day. Yeah, I did. I did say it completely. Yeah, I love Sutter.
He's obviously a great coach. What do you think he does? Because his personality in public doesn't seem like he's inspirational.
Dusty even said at this great speech. Dusty was like Dustin Brown, the captain. He's like this and that. He goes, and our coach. He goes. He taught us this, and sometimes we didn't like him, and Sutter just left. You have to have, it's not third grade girls soccer.
Right.
I think Disco is, I don't think Disco ever, like, someone needs to tell them, hey, Sid, you're playing on the goal line. Gino's in the circle. And that's the way it is. You don't like it? Fucking move.
So you think Sutter's a tough coach, then?
Go cry. You tell Mario. Maybe Mario will come down and fire me. But the way it's going to be is this is the way it's going to be. Because it's stuff like that. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jim.
No, Joe. I think I agree. I think you have to have a tactical mind, for that game. Obviously, it's like chess in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And I think you have to have that personality. Maybe he's just showing us what he shows us to the press. Because those guys, they don't really like you know how they are. For they don't really want to talk much to the press anyway.
Right.
But he may be a little bit more emotional with players, but maybe not a lot because. You kind of want to step back and let the players mold the team. Let the players lead the way as far as what the makeup and face of the team is going to be. So you kind of need that balance of a coach who's really strategic and play it like chess, but can also will be able to step back, let Crosby and Malkin
stay out of the way.
Maybe mold this team the way they want to mold this team. And maybe when Dan came in, those guys are so talented and they won. Maybe it is time to get somebody in there with new strategic thoughts, maybe new ways, like you're saying, Joe, maybe a new way to run things as far as strategy, as far as line changing, as far as all the tactical things of the game. It may be that time. I don't know if it's going to be – I don't think it's going to be a big name or heavy-handed coach, though, as far as that goes. I think the rumor already is that – I can't remember his name. I'm sorry. Our AHL Wilkes-Barre coach. Is it John Himes?
Here's the problem with Himes is he is heavy-handed, and he's defensively minded.
That's just it. Well, we can't have a big name. We can't have heavy-handed. I think you have to have let guys.
Do you think a heavy-handed guy, would you rather play? Obviously, a player probably wants to play for more of a player's coach type.
I think so. I think they want to. Especially
Stevens,
superstars.
They're saying Stevens from the Flyers, the old Flyers coach, who's now Sutter's right-hand man.
Really?
That's why it's taken a long time to find the coach.
He might be a good choice.
I think sit next to Sutter and learning how to – using that system would be perfect for the Penguins.
I mean,
here's another thing. Like with about Dan is, he was a grinder, and so he gets he wants getting back to Adams, and the guy's killing a penalty. Why can't Sid kill a penalty? Well, it's just someone takes a slap shot, then don't stand in front of it. Why can't Gino kill a penalty? That's what I mean. There just has to be some new thoughts and ideas. It's just stale, It's just
sometimes you need just a fresh viewpoint.
Yeah, he's running. He's made his run. He did a nice run though. He won a cup. Like I said, all those wins he's accumulated. Yeah, it's just time for maybe a little fresh blood, a little change.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. You do need that sometimes. Sometimes that's the dynamic. You need to get things going in the other direction.
That's why it's always good to have some new young guys come up.
Look what Toffoli and Peters and Pearson did for the Kings.
Well, that's why I'm always impressed by Chicago. Chicago, they won. They were like at the parade. People were like getting off the float. Like, no, you're not coming back next year. they won 2 in 4 years or 2 in 3 years, just like the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, they threw away. They were more in problems with the cap because they have more higher end stars at the very top, and they just got rid of like 5-6 guys that won game winning goals. Boland shipped them right out. It's like, hey, we want to be back here. You're not. It's like Hollywood. There's above the line and there's below the line. You're not above the line. You're going to be gone. The Penguins had too many third liners, fourth liners that think it's their birthright to play on the third line for the Penguins. And the third and fourth liner, your birthright is like making sure you're at every optional skate. Jimmy knows.
Yeah, it's true. And before it depends, you know, if Malkin's healthy, Crosby's healthy, Fleury's healthy, if we can get a salt throughout the playoffs too, you and I, we could coach maybe and get them deep. I mean, those guys are so the key is going to be health, no injuries. I mean, that's obviously the wild
that's
card.
That's a lot of times.
Malkin played with some injuries this past year. But, you know, they all play with injuries, I guess, in that race. But, yeah, that's the key.
Gino looked
well, now, if you could get
season. That's what made me sick, is Gino was looking constant. And it what makes me even sicker, and I've said it on this air, was for three games, I wrote it in my three games against the Rangers. Those three games, they looked like they all wanted to win the cup as bad as I did.
Right.
And that this is what makes you sick too. They didn't look like that for the 4 years since until that series. I didn't feel that 3 years ago. I didn't feel that they cared as much as I did. This year against New York, I really felt that's what made it even more disgusting.
Now, if you could get anyone for an off-season trade for the Pens, who would you go after? Who would you like to see them get?
It'd be a big. Who's free agent?
Who do we need?
Star defenses. We need a monster, like a defense guy, like somebody's rough. Oh,
I'd take Drew Doughty, but I mean,
not going to get him.
I don't think
he's locked up through 2020.
Oh, you're asking who we can legitimately get?
Yeah.
Oh, with the I thought you talking about a dream scenario. Well, I would get rid of Neil. I would trade Neil for a bag of pucks. I get two guys that could, because
you need pucks,
and I'm sick of his. You know, I'm sick of his. He's not tough when it matters. He's not tough in the corners. He's Pat Verbeek tough. He's slash someone when they're skating away. I don't need guys like him. I don't need guys that disappear. I would get a big. I would get. I don't know who's free. Coming up this summer, we'll have 12 episodes.
We'll have to find that out.
No, I mean, you know, obviously, Luch. I mean, Luch. Someone to play with Sid that's going to step up and even take the three games, suspension. Just, you know, set a tone in October, run someone through a wall, and someone like that, but with hands.
Not necessarily. Doesn't that be like a superstar, but somebody who's respectable as far as like, you know, a defensive player, just they can get rough, you know.
So you think you need a little more toughness?
I want
like in the old days?
Yes. We got to get tougher around the net for Fleury. Make the job a little bit easier for him, that's all. I think he'll be more consistent then.
You want a tough defenseman. That'd be your number one.
Yeah, to help Fleury out, to help him become even more consistent. I still think Fleury has some gas in the tank. I think he'll, you know, like I said, he has a ring.
He played great this year.
He can do it, but I'd like a guy who just,
Well, you need to clear those guys out from in front. And, you know, that's a lot of what it is for hockey, is if you got those guys that'll stand in there and take the hits. That's where a lot of goals are scored.
Yeah.
Here's Blausma versus Sutter. And I've said this, I'm sorry, it's like a greatest hits, right? No, and it was my most hated guy who called it out of him, Mr. Pierre Maguire.
Yep.
Remember that? I mean, how much was that, dude? Oh, my God. If Maguire was the GM,
he was going crazy.
Oh, my God. I'd be off to jump off the roof. I can't. The other thing good about that is, like, he wouldn't be on TV anymore, and we wouldn't, neither would us. We wouldn't be on TV either.
Yeah, that's true.
We wouldn't be on any national games. But, Pierre said,
you dodged a bullet.
Pierre said, why do we always, he's like asking him why your defense is so good around the net to Sutter. And he goes, other coaches teach defense. I coach checking.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's what it is. Blausma coaches stick on puck. This is a little finesse. Sutter's take the body. He's a Sutter.
Yeah, you got to hit those guys.
Yeah. You got to hit somebody.
Got to get physical.
Yeah, you do, actually. You do. And, you know, you got to move those guys out front. And they're big.
They are big. Yeah.
Right? Those guys are 6'4".
Everyone's like, that's against the Rangers. Everyone's like, look how quick the Rangers looked. Look how big the Kings looked.
Well, that's the thing. I asked Luke. I asked Luke because I was impressed with how the Rangers played in that first game. And I talked to Luke afterwards, and I said, hey, they played pretty good. And he goes, you know what? He says, I like our chances. That's what he said, because he goes, we got guys that are fast like that too, but they're bigger.
and not afraid to hit. Yeah,
yeah. And that is the difference.
That is a huge difference. Yeah. It is. And it, Fraser, if the Kings become, is that your second favorite team now?
You know, Detroit's my team.
I know Detroit's won. That's always it. That's your Steelers. Your right, Penguins. Detroit.
Yeah,
right?
And as Joel says, you get a mistress. So my mistress is the Kings, and
we both have the same mistress. It's kind of like we're like the Kennedys, and she's our Marilyn Monroe.
Is that your mistress too?
Yeah. My mistress team, absolutely.
Yeah. Can I have it as your? Can I?
Yeah, man, sure, sure.
I need a mistress hockey team.
We'd love to have you.
Thanks.
Come out more.
All right,
come out more. It's the best. You go StubHub. You get 4 seats, and it's a nice arena.
We're going next season.
Oh my God, absolutely, absolutely.
Introduce me to new mistress. Team.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Well, you're gonna dig it.
Yeah,
I am a Red Wing, and you know the thing. I went to Gordie Howe's hockey school when I was 12. Yeah,
you're kidding.
Yeah, he shot a rubber band at me.
You're kidding.
That was my biggest moment.
It would be mine.
Yeah, I was sitting on a bench, and he goes boing. And
did you stop it?
No. Well, I did with my head. Yeah. It bounced right off my head.
Frazier's a goalie.
Very proud of that. I got that. Vision, the side vision.
Yeah.
But, Red Wings, but they're not, they've got some great young players, and I think they're going to be great in a couple of years. And they've got the coach Babcock is a great coach. But I think that they're not there yet. So Kings are there. So your mistress gets all the attention.
Detroit not being dominant is weird for hockey, right?
They're coming back. We got some great young talent. And I think that's you don't give up on your main team.
No.
But it's going to be a couple years before they're really up there. But I think they're going to be good. But right now the Kings are good.
Well, if Babcock stays with that young talent, I see a brighter future than the Penguins, man. I really do for that team. They have a lot of young talent on that.
They got some good young guys,
and they're a good team. It shook my foundation this year. I mean, Sid.
What do you think's going on with Sid?
Sid did not look good.
What's going on with him?
I think he was physically tired.
If
it's anything other than being tired, I'm pissed.
Well, to me, I don't know anything about it, but I can tell that he's the best skill set guy still. And just watching him skate. He's like a Gretzky. There's really no one with better skills, I think, still. But he's been off. What do you think's going on there?
I think it's the grind, the physical punishment that he's taken over the years, with the head injuries. Not that they're catching up to him or anything like that, but maybe we might have to figure out ways to rest him during the season, possibly. Maybe be a little bit more strategic with Sid as far as the playoff run because, hey, he's a human being,
Yeah, he's been and then he's in the Olympics and he's under a lot of stress.
A lot of physical pounding
he played.
And those concussions,
the last one, very severe stuff. Yeah. I mean, he's still recovering probably. So, I think we're going to see a more refreshed Sid next year. But I'd like to see them rest him strategically. Like, remember they did with Mario, in his career. Not that Sid's toward the end of his career, but my God, the punishment, physical punishment.
So what do? You keep him out of some games towards the end of the season that don't matter?
I would. I would definitely strategically rest him.
On the road.
For the playoffs. On the road. Right. I mean, because we have to sell those games out for money. But I'm just saying, I would, definitely pick certain points where I would rest him for the playoff run.
And also, Sid isn't Lemieux,
Well,
he got tired. It was the first year he played a full season. No concussion, no puck hitting him in the face. And he played the Olympics. And he played the Olympics when you're Sidney Crosby in Canada, you have to win. Like the pressure, he probably needed 2 months just to just be on a beach and forget about all the pressure he had to endure.
I'm amazed that the pressure those guys can live up to. It's amazing.
Did you notice it in these overtime games in the playoffs how, if you're a real fan of the team, it was actually hard to breathe.
Oh, absolutely.
Your wife was hard on the fans.
Right.
The fans are like, wow, this is what's going on here.
That's how you get hockey. That's how LA is becoming a hockey city, though.
Yeah.
Because you have to, any city, you become a hockey town once you've gone through a playoff run.
That's right.
You have to have that.
It's
you win, you're happy, but only in the morning. The afternoon, you're nervous about the game. The next night, like that roller coaster that's hockey.
Regular season's great, but the playoffs, that's like watching a three-hour rock concert.
Right.
It's just nonstop, like you said, Frazier. You don't breathe or anything. And you're right. Once you go through that a few seasons, you're going to catch on.
Well, you know what I loved was that non-hockey fans got into this.
Yeah.
You know, they were so exciting that people, were like, who hate hockey or don't know anything about it, were coming up to me going, dude, did you see the game? You know, it really turned a lot of people on because it was exciting.
It becomes the big money ticket in town. And,
yeah.
And the girls, you could always tell in the rounds and Penguins, the girls were always more dressed up as the rounds. rooted for each round, you know.
Man, and don't get us started about Pia.
Oh yeah, well we have the hottest singer, national anthem singer.
Oh yeah,
Pia Toscano.
Yeah. Smoking hot. Yeah,
smoking and can hit the notes.
It can sing.
Yeah, oh, it can sing. I say can hit.
In LA, that's not always the case.
Well, yeah, no, it doesn't have to be. Right.
What's funny, and she does such a great job too. They didn't do it in the playoffs, but I always feel weird. Like about, you know, always like in the middle of like when she's like, you know, and the dawn's early, you know, someone will scream like, you're hot, Pia!
By the way, that was me.
She doesn't lose it in a regular season, like King Sabres in December, and just start laughing. And she never did. And I'd laugh every time. It'd be like, every now and then, it'd be like, oh! Sweet. Out of the blue, like, you're hot, Pia. I think it was Court.
It probably was Court. Yeah, it probably was. I'm surprised you didn't get her number. He probably did.
That's not bad, man. If you're just getting your hot Pia, man, a hot chick, and, you know, sitting in Pittsburgh. Imagine the comments we'd be getting every game. My God.
Oh, yeah. Wow. No, she couldn't. It would be. She would, if she was the Pittsburgh, if she replaced Jimerson, she would be like the most famous. She'd be like, she'd be like fighting Sally Wigan for most
for hotness.
Most important woman in Pittsburgh.
In the Bergs. Yeah. She's that hot.
She's hot.
Pretty hot.
Yeah, yeah.
She'd have to get black and gold hair.
Like, she
the roots would have to come out.
Like, she looks hot here. You know what I mean? Like,
LA, huh?
Yeah.
If you're hot here, you're a 14.
Yeah. You're not a 10.
Yeah, 14. Come on.
Yeah.
Hey, I have another mascot moment. I was there the night that Wild Wing for the Ducks caught on fire.
You're kidding.
Yeah. He was. They had this mascot. They're all out of the game now. This guy was he was a mascot, and he was dressed up like Wild Wing. I don't know how that. A duck. He was a duck.
Yeah.
And he went through a flaming hoop. On skates, which I thought was kind of stupid, and his wing caught on fire. The crowd's cheering like crazy, and everyone's like, "Wait a minute, he's on fire!" They ran out and sprayed him down.
That's
I'm always there for the big mascot moment.
I know that's huge.
You're like fantasy camp for mascots.
Yeah,
you
know,
it's actually funny though.
Yeah.
My God,
you know, all the old mascots.
I don't think he got hurt, but it really was funny.
That's so funny.
Smoke fills the arena.
speaking of great leaders, though, we missed the Emperor. Mm. Yeah, there would be no city. I know this is a hockey podcast, but I want to say I was born in 1969. I knew nothing else other than Chuck Knoll.
Oh, but Chuck
Knoll. That's the whole reason why me and Jimmy can have a little pride in our city.
That's true.
That's the whole reason.
Genius. One of the greats ever.
Chuck Knoll.
Those 70 Steelers.
How many Super Bowls did he win?
Four.
Four?
Four in 6 years.
Come on.
Four
that guy.
Yeah.
He's got to be considered one of the top ever.
Yep.
So,
I know it was a, you know, just had to say.
No, that's good. Good. Shout out.
Legendary. Tap of the stick. The Emperor.
True.
A lot of people get legendary tagged, but he deserves it.
No, there should be. There should be a statue. The Rooney's on. They don't have enough money. They need a statue. they need to name a bridge. When he was alive, it's so stupid. Now who cares? Well, his kid can enjoy it, but they should have done it 25 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh. Beautiful. It's a beautiful city. It's gone through some changes. It's a great city as far as the medical field, robotics, and all these great things. And then during that era, the Chuck Knoll, when the Steelers were losing before Chuck Knoll got there. I remember they 1-13 the first year of his coaching. But you're right, Joe. It was a city going through transition of being, you know, our steel mills closed and all that stuff, and there's Great Depression's going on there as far as economically. And all of a sudden, here comes Chuck Knoll, and he turns the fortunes, everything around for the Steelers, and we become this face of the nation, all this pride around the country. You're right, became he became our leader in a way, the emperor, the leader, the face, and the beginning of that renaissance for the city, I think, actually could be attributed a bit in a public relations way or to him. And, we attracted businesses and all these other things that came to the city to make it this incredible city it is today. He was part of that.
He's on Mount Rushmore.
Well, what a run. I mean, to win that many Super Bowls, that did get attention to that city.
Oh, absolutely.
And those teams were unbelievable teams.
It's what separates us from all the other, Eastern Rust Belt, Midwestern, we're the city of champions.
We
could easily be one of the other 10 that are always in, but Pittsburgh is above it because of why? Because of Chuck Knoll.
Yeah, I'm a Lions fan. We haven't won a playoff game since Bobby Lane.
Poor Lions.
Like 57 or something.
They're getting better, though, Phrase.
I hope you're
allowed to have three mistress teams in the NFL.
I'm going to need them.
You get the okay.
I need them. I want to tell you guys, I looked this up. I don't know if I say it right, Primanti Brothers?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. They've got one. You can get a Primanti sandwich at Suzanne's Country Deli in the Valley.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Now there's knockoff Permanis.
We'll test it.
There's knockoff Permanis a lot of places. Someone say, they have Pittsburgh sandwiches.
It's in the coleslaw. Joe and I will go check.
Yeah, it's about the coleslaw. Yeah, isn't it?
And the fries got to be kind of stale, and the coleslaw's got to be a little wet.
Tangy. A little certain tang and sweetness combined.
Well, you might want to check it out. Or Steel City Sandwich Truck.
Okay. Steel City Sandwich Truck?
Yeah.
Right on.
We will try that.
Yeah, check it.
What a pleasure, Josh. Thanks for hanging out,
Josh.
Thanks.
I couldn't get a word in edgewise because of Josh.
I apologize, Fraze. He's like that.
He's awesome. He's awesome.
Big super thank you. I mean, I know you're a legend, Fraze, but what an honor.
Jimmy, come on,
you guys. I mean, come on, guys. You're like family here. Thanks for making me feel so welcome, man.
You're awesome.
I had a great time.
It's the best.
Say hi to Billy Elmer.
I will. What's up, Billy?
My buddy.
Congratulations to the Kings once again.
Yeah, man, Kings.
Congratulations.
We'll be here every week, everybody. We'll come up with some topics, and remember Facebook and Twitter. And
we'll be interviewing the Zamboni driver.
We're gonna have some. We're gonna have some big guests, though.
Yeah, we are.
I'll be listening, guys.
Players will actually be able to come out.
Talk about my new mistress team. So
there you go.
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
We're converting them. Thanks again to New Jersey, Stress Factory, New York, and to Philly and Helium. Are you kidding me? It was awesome. You guys are awesome. We'll be back next Vegas, Sunday night, the All In Tour at Harrah's.
Beautiful.
With we're not allowed to say it, but a very, very, very special guest will be at that one.
Yeah.
You know who it is.
I think I know.
Right. I'm excited.
Fred, the captain, please listen to the captain.
Thank you.
The legendary KLOS. What a pleasure to be with you all season.
Thank you,
we're going to be here in the summer, but it feels like the season, the Kings are.
We're starting our second season. We did it.
The mistress.
Yeah, we did it with our mistress. Did it.
Yeah.
Beautiful, man. Thanks, Joe. Great job today. Guys, thank you so much
thanks
for joining
again,
us.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And we'll see you next week on Puck Off.